I've been studying this passage of Scripture today, but I tell you, the book of Hosea, you know, it's one of those minor prophet books, and, you know, going through, you know, in ministry and things like that, sometimes there are, you know, certain passages, certain chapters, I guess, that you don't necessarily study over as much as, you know, the Gospels or the Pentateuch or things like that. And so I tell you, I'm enjoying being able to really take a deeper dive into this book. And it really has helped me and kind of stirred me up, to be honest with you, a little bit. But I've been looking forward to getting to chapter number 3. Just for this simple fact that it's all about the love of the Lord. I mean, and you see that all throughout the book of Hosea, but tonight I pray and I hope that we'll really truly get a better grasp of the love of God tonight. But you know, I tell you, when you begin to talk about and preach about and even sing about sometimes the love of God, I mean, it's really a characteristic, it's an attribute that is kind of unfathomable to really convey and to even grasp. I think about that song, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell." And, you know, just thinking about His love and the many different aspects of it, it's a deep thing to think about. But I want to say tonight, to start off, that I'm thankful that He loves me tonight. And we're going to talk a little bit about some things concerning the love of God. But chapter number 3 of the book of Hosea, let's all stand to our feet tonight for the reading of His Word. It's just 5 short verses here, but I tell you, a lot's packed in a little here in this chapter. And so I'm looking forward to it, but let's read chapter number 3 of the book of Hosea, and then we'll see what all the Lord has for us tonight. The Bible says, verse number 1, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an omer of barley, and an half omer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward," there's always an afterward, isn't there, church? "Shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days." And I want to draw your attention to back to verse number 1 on that phrase, "according to the love of the Lord." Let's pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray You'd help us tonight. God, I pray You'd rid us of any distraction that we've come in here carrying. Father, I pray that You would just lighten the load of our burden tonight as we think and ponder about Your love for us. God, as we think about Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy towards us tonight, God, I pray that You would just manifest Yourself in this place tonight. Lord, that we would see no man save Jesus only. Father, I pray that we would look unto You, the author and the finisher of our faith tonight. Lord, I pray that every heart that's here, every family that's here, Lord, that You would see, help us to see exactly what we stand in need of. Lord, if we need comfort, I pray You'd supply that for us tonight. God, if we need encouragement, God, I pray You'd provide that for us tonight. Lord, whatever it is that we need tonight, God, we know that You can supply it, and You will if we'll be faithful to some things. And God, I pray that You would do a work that only You can do. Father, that only You can get the credit for. And Lord, we'll go away from this place tonight saying it was good to be in Your house. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing tonight. the love of God according to the love of the Lord. I'll say this just by way of introduction. The love of God, just some outlying characteristics, I guess some adjectives concerning the love of the Lord tonight. I'm thankful that the love of God is unconditional, aren't you? I'm thankful that there's nothing that I could say or do to make the Lord love me anymore. And there's nothing that I could ever say or do to make Him love me any less tonight. But the love of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, is unconditional. I'm glad to know tonight that the love of God is everlasting. It's eternal, amen? And I'm thankful that His love is everlasting. It's also horizontal. What I mean by that, it's the same no matter black or white or yellow or whatever color you might be. It don't matter what kind of social class you find yourself in tonight. His love is just as great, is just as big for you, and it's just as big and great for me. It's horizontal. It's the same for everyone. It's immutable. It's never changing. It's always the same. The love of God's powerful. It's sufficient tonight. There's enough of Him to go around. Somebody say amen. He is all sufficient and His love is sufficient. Out of His great love, He lifted me up. He set my feet on a solid rock. He established my goings. And I'm thankful for the love of God tonight. But I want you to notice, and I want to draw your attention to some things that we find here in the book of Hosea chapter number 3. And remember this, that Hosea, what he represents and what he pictures, and then also what Gomer represents and what she pictures. Of course, we understand by now as we come to chapter number 3 that Gomer represents the children of Israel and their unfaithfulness to the Lord God Almighty. And the Lord is trying to use Hosea to get them to understand some things. To get them to understand that, hey, it's not all right that you have left me and left your first love. It's not all right that you're doing these wicked things. It's not all right that you're unfaithful to me. I have a big issue with that. And the Lord's using Hosea to be able to preach and try to get the children of Israel their attention about some things concerning their spirit and concerning their relationship with the Lord God. But I want you to notice some things tonight about the love of the Lord that we find in this passage of Scripture. And I love this. Just to start out, I want you to notice number one tonight there in verse number 2, that it's a, thank God, it's a redemptive love. It's a redemptive love. I want you to notice verse number 2. It says, "So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an omer of barley, and an half omer of barley." Now, we understand that already that Gomer is Hosea's wife. By now, Hosea and Gomer are married. They have become married. And so, what in the world would happen for Hosea to have to purchase his own property back? To purchase his own wife back, if you will. Well, I believe in, and the Bible says certain things about this, but it is silent about exactly what it was that Gomer might have done to make it to where Hosea would have to buy her back. But I believe that, and we know this and see this out of what we've read in chapter number 2 and just kind of her tendencies and what she was likened to do and the type of person that she was. But I believe that Gomer had done left Hosea and continued in that foolish lifestyle. She had done continued in her adultery and unfaithfulness to Hosea. And that sin and that adultery, I believe it wound her up in slavery is what took place. And she had done gotten so deep in it that she could not get out on her own. And how many of you know tonight that sin, if we're not careful, it will take you further than you want to go and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. That's how sin works and that's how the devil works. And I believe that Gomer has gotten herself in a world of trouble so much so that she has found herself in slavery. You know what I believe took place, and we read some of this and how she was there in chapter number 2. I'm not going to take time to go back and read all of that, but we understand that Gomer, she was a very fleshly type woman. Even after getting married to the prophet Hosea. What happened, I believe, and you've heard this made statement before, is I believe that Gomer, she got what she wanted, but she lost what she had in a lot of ways. Gomer got what she wanted in that lifestyle. She obeyed her flesh. She went with her flesh. All the while, she lost her husband. She lost Hosea. She lost her family, her children. Wound up enslaved to somebody else. She got what she wanted, but she lost what she had. She had a nice home with Hosea. She had a comfortable home with Hosea. She had a life that didn't have a whole lot of chaos and didn't have a whole lot of unrule-like activity in it there with Hosea. She got what she wanted, but she lost what she had. I don't believe it was as comfortable in that prison as it was back at Hosea's house. I don't believe that she had everything that she needed there when she was enslaved to whoever it was like she'd had at Hosea's house. And boy, I began to think about some people in the Bible back in time that they got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. I couldn't help but think about Lot. And you remember the story of Abraham and Lot. And you remember the time came to where Abraham and Lot were going to part ways. And Lot saw that land out towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And he thought it looked pretty good. He thought it looked enticing. And before he knew it, he was living down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know what the Bible says about that wicked place, that evil place. And all the while, he was losing his family. He was losing his wife. And it came down the story. You know how the story goes, where they had to begin to flee because the Lord was about to have his way with that place. They had to flee the city there, and you know the story. The one request that they had for Lot's wife and his family is just don't turn back when you leave. Don't turn back and look. And you know what happened? His wife turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. What happened that night? Well, Lot got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. I couldn't help but think about the children of Israel. I mean, there's many different accounts of that, but you remember one specific account where the children of Israel there in 1 Samuel, they began to cry out and want an actual physical king. You remember the story. They began to want and desire a king for to be able to rule and reign there in their kingdom there. They wanted a king, but you know what I believe, and we could go back and read this in 1 Samuel, where the Bible tells us that the Lord, after giving them their king, the Lord began to not listen out for them. And so the children of Israel, they wanted a king, but they lost the Lord's ear to hear their cry for that time there in 1 Samuel. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. Of course, we could definitely go to the prodigal son, couldn't we? And think about his life and what he wanted and what he desired with his heart. And he wanted to take his father's money, to take his inheritance, and he went out and wasted it, didn't he? With riotous living, the Bible tells us. And we know the story where he would find himself in the pig slop there. And you remember what he cried out for. He just wanted to be made one of his father's hired servants. What happened to the prodigal son? Well, he got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. But you know what? I'm thankful, and I love how this chapter goes, that even as Hosea and Gomer were there, and Gomer was up there on that auction block, and Hosea was thinking about her adultery, no doubt. He was thinking about her wickedness. He was thinking about her sin. He was thinking about how wrong and messed up this is. But you know what he still did? He still bought her, didn't he? He still purchased her, didn't he? And he still loved her enough to buy her back again. And boy, I'm thankful tonight that even when I'm unlovable, that even when I'm unfaithful, even when I'm wicked, when I'm irresponsible, when I'm undesirable as a child of God, even when I sin tonight, Jesus Christ still loved me enough to pay for my sins. Jesus loved me enough to go to a cross and shed His precious blood for me. He purchased me with His, not His money. He didn't purchase me with a credit card. He didn't purchase me with an IOU, but He purchased me with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's enough to pay for all of my sin and all of mankind's sin. I'm thankful that He redeemed me tonight, church. He redeemed me. He purchased me. He paid for me. He gave Himself for me. What am I doing with that tonight? What are you doing with that tonight? With that redemptive love that we read about in this passage of Scripture, that we read about all throughout Scripture. What are you doing as a child of God to help somebody know and understand about the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you doing tonight to let somebody know, to let a hell-bound sinner know that, hey, even though you're unlovable, even though you don't have it all figured out, even though you may not have all the answers tonight, but there's a God in heaven who gave His Son for you. He shed His precious blood for you, and you are somebody to Him. You are lovable to Jesus Christ. It's a redemptive love that we read about here in this passage of Scripture. Not only is it a redemptive love, secondly, I want you to notice this in verse number 3. It's a retaining love. It's a retaining love. Notice what verse number 3 says. He, of course, Hosea, man, we could say a lot more about that. You understand there in verse number 2, that 15 pieces of silver, a half omer of barley, is half of what an actual slave would be paid for. But He still did it, amen? He still did it. Verse number 3, I want you to notice this retaining love. We're talking about the love of the Lord tonight. The Bible tells us, "And I said unto her," Hosea speaking to Gomer, notice this, "Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man." What's He telling her here in this passage of Scripture, church? He's telling her that, man, Gomer, look, you've messed up. I've got you back where I need you and I want you. I've got you back into my authority and into my own house. I've got you back. I purchased you back to me. And look, there's going to be some things that have to take place now to keep you here. There's going to be some things that we're going to have to put in place to where you're going to have to stay at home for a while. He says, "Thou shalt abide for me many days." And I believe how this passage of Scripture, this verse in particularly is reading, it reads kind of like this. He says, "Thou shalt abide for me many days." Now that's the commandment. That's what you are going to do. And listen, here's the result if you will be faithful in doing that, Gomer. He says, "Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man." In other words, what he's telling her, church, I believe, is he's saying, look, he knew that if he could keep Gomer near him, if he could keep Gomer at his house with his family, if he could keep Gomer in church, somebody help me tonight. Gomer wouldn't act like she had been acting. If he could just keep her around him and keep her doing, keep his eyes on her and be able to watch her. And as long as Gomer would be near Hosea, it was going to be a whole lot harder for Gomer to play the harlot, if you will. As long as Gomer was near Hosea, it was going to be a whole lot harder for her to be for and with another man. And look, that sin would not go away, no doubt. But how many of you know this tonight, that right here as I sit in the house of God, it's a whole lot harder for me to get wicked and get evil sitting here in His house? How many of you know tonight that when I get home, when you get home, and right here in front of the Word of God, it's a whole lot harder for my thoughts to drift? Somebody help me tonight. As long as, if we could just grasp some things out of Scripture, I'll tell you what, we'd be better children of God. You know what? I'm telling you, I'm just saying that if we could come to the realization that when I'm in the Father's house and when I'm in the Father's will, I don't mess up and act like that a whole lot. But what do? And look, I'm not preaching at you tonight. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Boy, we get home and we do let our thoughts drift. We get outside of these four walls and we don't really want to spend time with the Lord. We don't really want to be in His presence necessarily. But man, if we could get into His presence, if we could desire to be in His presence, I believe we'd be better Christians. I believe we'd be better fathers. I believe we'd be better mamas. I believe we'd be better brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and coaches. Amen. It's this love that we're reading about tonight, it's a retaining love. As long as Gomer got into Hosea's presence and stayed in his presence, she was going to be kept from a whole lot of nonsense, is what I'm trying to say. She was going to be kept from the sin and the wickedness, that the harlotry that she had been known for. I'll say that to say this, church, get into His presence tonight. Stay in His presence tonight. And I believe if we could do that, if we could come to that place and humble ourselves before a thrice holy God and get into the presence of the Lord, I believe we'd act a little bit better. Be able to retain some things that we've known about the Lord Jesus. I believe it's a retaining love. It's a keeping love. We got to get into His presence tonight. Notice thirdly, and I've got to hurry, it's a regarding love. Notice verse number 3 once again, and I'll let you know what I mean by a regarding love. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide from me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. Notice this right here. So will I also be for thee. So will I also be, notice this, for thee. Some of us, we just can't help it, but we read through Scripture and sometimes we see people as the bad guy and they're not really the bad guy. Some of us are reading about Hosea here and how dare him give a commandment to his wife like that, you know. You're going to do this and you're going to do this and you're going to do this. But I want you to notice what the end of that verse says right there. Don't miss the fact that he gives her these things and he says, look, it's going to be better if you get in my presence than you've had it. It's going to be a whole lot better, but I want you to also notice this, Gomer. Even though I put a commandment on you, even though I want you to do some things right, I want to see you succeed, but I want you to know this, Gomer, that I am for you. I am with you in this fight. Even after you fail, I want to see you succeed. Hosea is for Gomer. It's a regarding love. He's regarding her. He is for her. His desire was for her to live like a child of God, to live like he knew her to be able to live. I want to say this tonight, church, that God is for you. He's in your corner. He's not up in heaven hoping to see you fail, hoping to see you get egg on your face. He doesn't put these commandments and these things and these principles all throughout Scripture to set us up for failure, but He is for us in this thing. He's for you. He loves you. He wants to see you do well. He wants to see you a blessed people. He wants to see you and give you the desires of your heart. He is for you tonight, church. It's a regarding love. Mark Brown said it best. He's here, so I had to bring one out. He said, don't expect brim blessings until you start giving brim obedience. Somebody say amen. It got quiet in here. Don't expect brim blessings until you start giving brim obedience. Does that make sense tonight? Look, a lot of us want more and more and more when we ain't giving anything. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about service. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about love for the Lord. Don't expect brim blessings until you start giving brim obedience. But no, make no mistake about it tonight, Christian, that the God in heaven, the God of all glory, the God of this universe, He's got a whole lot to worry about. He's got a whole lot to think about. But I want you to know that He sees you. He wants you to see you succeed. He is for you, and He loves you tonight. He hath regarded your helpless estate. Somebody help me. A regarding love. Lastly tonight, and I didn't get this one till about 30 minutes ago. I wasn't even going to go to verses 4 and 5. I was going to leave it right there. So some of you may be mad that you're thinking we'd be done right now. But we got one more to go. But I think it'll be worth it, or at least earlier in the truck, it was worth it for me. Amen. I want you to notice lastly, these last few verses, it's a rewarding love. Verse 4, it says this. Notice this. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. I want you to understand this about number 4. This is a prophecy fulfilled, verse number 4. Do you know why that is? Because guess what the children of Israel don't have in this current day? They do not have a king. They do not have a prince. They do not have a sacrifice or an image. They don't have a temple. They don't have a tabernacle. They don't have any of these things. And so you read verse number 4, the prophet Hosea was prophesying back then to today. They've been without a king for how long now? They've been without all of these things for a long period of time. Okay? And that is the state of Israel as we know it this current day. That's a prophecy that has been fulfilled. And I just want you to know this. If I'm wrong, somebody tell me, but I began to think about this compared to the children of Israel, compared to a child of God tonight, and you may know where I'm going, but look, for the children of Israel, they don't have a king. They are without a king. You remember, they rejected Jesus. They rejected him. They didn't want him. They said, crucify him. They don't have a prince. They don't have a temple. They don't have a priest. But oh, for the child of God tonight. Boy, I've got a king. Hey, I've got a temple. I've got a high priest. I've got a Savior tonight. I've got all of these things in my life because I'm a child of God. And I just want to say tonight, church, that, hey, it's a rewarding love. That love of God, it rewards me. You know why? Because when I go to Him in a word of prayer, I know that He's there. Somebody help me tonight. Hey, when I'm in my time of distress, when I feel like all hell's breaking loose in my life, I've got a King in glory who knows about it all. He's got everything under control, and He's going to meet my every need. I'm telling you, it's a rewarding love tonight to be known as a child of God. And I'm thankful that He loves me. I'm thankful that He gave Himself for me. He redeemed me. He bought me. He purchased me on the cross of Calvary. It's a retaining love. It's a regarding love. He's for you tonight, and He's for me. Amen. According to the love of the Lord. Aren't you glad tonight that He loves you? Just somebody like you. Just an old sinner saved by His grace. He still loves you tonight. According to the love of God, of the Lord. We'll never be able to love the Lord like He loves us, church, and has shown His love for us. But I want to ask you this question tonight. Are you trying? Are you trying? When's the last time that you thanked Him for redeeming you, paying for your sin? You know that when we get up in heaven and He asks, why should I let you into heaven, and maybe somebody tries to bring up that sin, it's going to be, what sins are you talking about? I don't have them anymore. You know why? Because Jesus paid for it. Amen. When's the last time you thanked Him for paying for you and buying you back? How long has it been since you got into the presence of the Lord and just stayed there a little while? Hey, I'm going to tell you what, it feels good. It sure does feel good being in. Now, I don't stay there as long as I should, but I tell you what, when I get into the presence, and I know that when you get into the presence of the Lord, boy, it's a feeling like no other. And He made it that way on purpose, amen, so that we'd be thirsty for more. How long has it been since you got into His presence? Do you realize tonight the Lord's regard for you? Do you realize that He's for you? He wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you live a better life, and, and do better and do more and do well, even financially. He is for you tonight, church, according to the love of the Lord. Let's stand as we